Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey folks, before we talk with the rude pundit, don't forget to go shopping through our Amazon link at bobseska.com. The all caps Amazon link just beneath the logo will take you right to the front page of Amazon where you can go shopping until you're dropping. And by using our link, we'll collect a small commission on some of your purchases. Thanks for clicking the Amazon link. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
From our nation's capital, it is Wednesday, September 30, 2020, and this is the interview edition of the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. My guest today is the great Lee Papa, also known as Rude Pundit. You might know Rude from such websites as rudepundit.blogspot.com, or you might know Rude from his weekly appearances on the Stephanie Miller Show. Either way, you know Rude combines smart political analysis highlighted by expletives that'd make Sam Kennison blush. So get ready for our obscenity-filled recap of last night's presidential debate in which Donald Trump was nothing but a geyser of screechy madness, uninterrupted for 90 minutes. Meanwhile, if you like today's show, take some time to sign up for our bonus content at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. All right, let's talk election 2020 with a great Rude Pundit. I have to say right here at the top, I'm feeling a little logy because I barely slept last night. I was completely wired from the what the fuck energy after watching that debate. How about you? How are you feeling today?
I mean, I was on the phone with people like for half the night after. Yeah. All of us sitting there going, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly.
Like this real sense of okay, we knew Trump was fucked up. We didn't know it. I mean, you know, even last night was like, wow, that is deeply, deeply fucked up.
He's clearly one-upping himself every time he goes out. And what's strange to me is normally when he's on in prime time on network television, he's a bit of an Eddie Haskell where he goes off on his best behavior. Or he at least tries. Like his first answer last night, for example, on Amy Coney Barrett was somewhat reasonable. And then it was just like, fuck it.
Yeah, it really was. It really was like he came out there and they told him, okay, go out there, be reasonable. And then he just decided, he probably decided his strategy is I'm going to rattle Biden.
Yeah.
I'm going to rattle him and make him have some kind of senior moment. I'm going to show that he has dementia because I believe that with every fiber of my being.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just set out for the rest of the debate to try to shake him up. And, you know, Biden's fucking face down, you know, an angry Jesse Helms, you know.
Yeah.
He can handle it.
You remember when Al Gore kept saying lockbox and Admiral Stockdale turned off his hearing aid? Those were fun days.
Remember the absolute outrage of Al Gore sighing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And George H.W. Bush checking his watch during a debate. Yeah. Gasp. How did we survive that?
I don't know. Yeah, I remember that those were Republic ending cataclysms there.
Yeah,
that completely disqualified candidates, and yet, you know, it was so funny seeing the conservatives on like CNN and other places try to find some nugget of gold in the shit pile that they were handed.
Yeah,
and you know, and admirably, a few of them just sort of threw up their hands, or like, "Yeah, no, that was shit. That was awful."
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like the cable news people were at least trying to shoehorn all of that into their usual debate mad libs, right? They really wanted to see if they could fit it into the normal. Well, here's what happened, and let's fact check this. And oh my God, it was a heated exchange when Donald Trump said this, and they really wanted to make it normal. They really wanted to normalize it, but the horror show turned out to be, I think, too harrowing to make all that work. Fox News tried its best to normalize it. But this morning, even on Fox and Friends, they were doing remedial debate prep for Trump on television, hoping he was watching, which I take as an admission that they believe he failed. I mean, what did you think of the coverage overall before and after?
Well, I mean, I watched CNN, and CNN was, I mean, you went to CNN and Jake Tapper looked like he was going to throw up. I mean, really, Jake Tapper is like, this is a dumpster fire inside of, you know, and then Dana Bash just saying flat out, it was a shit show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then turning to Anderson Cooper, who also, you know, looked like, you know, he was going to smell Jake Tapper's vomit and vomit himself. And it was, you know, they were like genuinely stunned and even, I mean, there was just simply no way to try to have some kind of objective conversation. I don't even understand what is the benefit, what could have been going through Trump's Adderall spinning brain to make him think that was a strategy that
I think he
decided that he was going to treat Biden, and this is going to sound shitty, but he was going to treat Biden like he treated Hillary Clinton, act like Biden's a woman.
Yeah, right.
And unfortunately, the American public, as sexist as it is, you know, unfortunately for him, that the American public is as sexist as it is, and it didn't buy it.
I think this also underscores the fact that Donald Trump is completely out of touch with regular people. And I'm not just talking about the regular folks in the diners in Wisconsin. I'm talking about, generally speaking, across the board. I don't think Donald Trump understands the extreme nature of our stress right now as a country when it comes to, at the very least, the pandemic. So we're in this national crisis. We're, in fact, in a global crisis. And Donald Trump just completely disregarded all of that and thought, hey, why don't I just act like a maniac for 90 minutes here? That'll certainly help. I think it terrified people watching in. I think people are freaked out today by what they saw. And that's not even taken into consideration the fact that Donald Trump has the nuclear codes on a card in his pants pocket. I mean, right. That alone is what kept me up last night.
Well, and I also think that the difference to me, I say every election that people don't truly pay attention until we're about a month out.
Mm-hmm.
That most people are not living on, you know, on Twitter and hanging on, you know, every gaffe and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so for people that may have just tuned into the Trump clown show, that have sort of tuned it out for a while as they dealt with, you know, losing jobs and losing loved ones and seeing if they're sick themselves, that Donald Trump was talking to the people that are just his Twitter followers, really.
Yeah.
And Biden was talking to the people who were just tuning into the election,
mm-hmm.
and essentially saying, look at this fucking guy. I mean, is this what you want? Or do you want the calm guy who's going to, even when this tsunami of madness is coming at him, is going to stand there and actually try to get out some plans that for his presidency?
The snap poll afterwards, the CNN snap poll, showed 28% thought Donald Trump won the debate. But his approval numbers are somewhere around 40-42%. So there was a bunch of Trump people, sort of, I would suggest maybe fringe red hats, who are normally Trump diehards, but who saw what happened last night and went, oh, shit. I wonder if those people are resenting Donald Trump today because he actually emphasized everything that they've been trying to defend him against. Like, oh, no, he's not crazy, but he actually is. He was just crazy for 90 minutes in primetime on network television. You can't defend that now. So it seems like they might be stumped a little, although I have a tendency to be a little optimistic when it comes to that shit. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that it wasn't just that he was crazy that might have turned people. I mean, look at the week he's had.
Oh, yeah,
he's had
yeah.
a week where he's had the entire basis of his identity has been undermined mm-hmm. by the reports in the New York Times yeah. on his finances. And then he has this that also undermines any sense of him as a – I mean, not that anybody thought he was a rational leader, but – it wasn't just that he was insane last night. It's that he was insane and cruel.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's the part I think that is most going to affect people. I mean, there was he was given the chance. Chris Wallace fucking fed him the line
mm-hmm.
to say about the Proud Boys. He said, will you tell them to stand down and not commit violence?
Jesus.
All he had to do was parrot that.
Yeah.
Proud Boys. Stand down and don't commit violence, and
mm-hmm.
the whole issue would have gone away. He couldn't bring himself to do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then the thing with Beau Biden, you know, just take a fucking pause in your rant when Joe Biden is talking about his dead son, and even though you know Biden was using Beau to attack Trump, just take a pause and say, I honor your son's service. But here's what I did for veterans,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry about the loss of your son. No, it was, yeah, fuck Bo. I don't know who the fuck that is. And let me tell you about Hunter got kicked out of the military for snorting coke.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're sitting there going, are you fucking kidding me? How did Biden not just – I wrote today, I was like, if you were in a bar and you heard somebody say that to somebody else, and the first guy started beating the shit out of the guy who said it, you'd step back and go, yeah, he deserves it. I'm just going to watch this fight.
Right, right. I mean, I hope people saw that and went and had the same reaction as we all had, as the normals had last night, which is that this is so bad for democracy, the way the president is behaving. And it's generally speaking, the overall takeaway of it is just shrieking eel for 90 minutes, completely unpresidential in every possible way. I mean, even saying that it's unpresidential seems like faint praise or faint criticism to me. It's because there's no nomenclature, I think, in following politics that can define what happened. So I think a lot of people, this goes back to cable. I think a lot of people are trying to figure out whether that was planned or whether that was spontaneous. I don't think it matters. I think the problem is the very fact that he behaved that way. That's the problem. I don't care if it was his debate strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I sat there and thought, how racist do you have to be? How racist and hateful to sit there and think, you know what? Fuck my country. Mm. I want this guy to be reelected because he lets me be racist out in the open. I mean, like, just fuck everything in the country. Fuck all the people dying of coronavirus.
Yeah.
Fuck you for losing your job. Fuck the environment. Fuck your kid's future. Fuck everyone. I want this guy because I like how racist he is.
Mm.
And if that's who you are, well, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck everything about you. Fuck everything you've ever done in your life and fuck your family.
Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to be honest. There's still a significant part of me who thinks our idiocracy is going to reward Trump for last night. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think that this was damaging for Donald Trump or do you think this helped Donald Trump? And it's just a weird question because it should be the end of Trump. His approval rating coming out of this should be in the 20s, but we don't live in that normal America anymore. We live in an age when that kind of behavior is rewarded and, in fact, praised. So where do you think this lands when all is said and done?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a whole, you know, media culture out there that is ready to praise, that is already praising him and supporting him. Mm-hmm. And that will tell you that what he did was right, that he beat up Joe Biden, that Biden was, you know, that Biden was confused or whatever. And there are people who will see edited clips on Facebook and think that was the reality. Mm. I think that there's about a third of the public that you just got to fucking write off. They're done.
Yeah.
And I think you're also right that when you said earlier that maybe there is, I would say there's probably 5-6% that could be persuaded. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit at this point if they're persuaded or not. I don't give a shit. I stopped getting a shit about them from the moment Trump was elected.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. You knew what we were getting. We were telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you're going to realize, oh, well, I made a terrible decision. All right. Well, now you have to fucking listen to us.
That's right.
Because we made the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I don't want the Democrats to worry about appealing to those voters.
Yeah.
But if we, you know, if Trump's purpose, one of Trump's purposes last night was to, you know, was to discourage voting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if anything, maybe his followers were the ones that thought, wow, I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
But that's attributing a morality to them and a sense of self-awareness that they have simply never shown.
I only give a shit about those people insofar as I feel like this election needs to be a blowout in order to bury not only Trump, but also Trumpism, to wipe it off the map, to humiliate it out of existence. And I know that's a big ask, especially given the climate that we're in right now. But I feel like the bigger the blowout is, the better off we're all going to be. If there's a huge, like, electoral college landslide against Donald Trump, that'll be great. And I feel like that requires some of those people, wherever they are, somewhere between that 28% basement and the 42% ceiling, if those people suddenly start to shift over and maybe start to think about voting for Joe Biden, we may be in that landslide scenario. And that's my hope, only for the future of the country. You know, that's
right. Because I also think that with a landslide, that's where Trump just looks like a fucking idiot for trying to fight it.
Yeah.
And also, are you really going to go out there and risk your life to you know, to take your AR-15 and finally, you know, say it's go time, mm-hmm. and go to battle for somebody who so obviously lost?
Yeah.
No. You'll get one or two fuck nuts, you know, that are going to come out there and say, come out there for QAnon or something,
mm-hmm.
and try to defend Trump. But no,
yeah.
I think you're right. We need the landslide. But even there are Republicans now today. I've seen, you know, some people that are in touch with Republicans saying that they're starting to feel like this is a 1964 style blowout that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that would be a fucking a miracle. It would save the country.
Yeah,
honestly,
it would
save the country.
I completely agree. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And along those lines, I mean, what do you think was the worst thing about whatever the hell that was last night? I mean, I'm conflicted between the standby to the Proud Boys, the racism last night, and the voter suppression. I don't know which one was the worst trespass of Donald Trump last night. If it was that racist section, or if it was the voter suppression thing.
I think that the obvious answer is the white supremacy part of it.
Yeah.
But I actually think because he went on so long about voter suppression, you know, about this fake fraud that he keeps talking about and whatever he thinks is happening with mail-in ballots. I mean, Joe Biden gave this eloquent answer about voting and the necessity for voting. I mean, you know, it was actually probably Biden's best moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trump comes in and he's just like scrolling through some far right lunatic's Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Every fucking thing he's saying is just one conspiracy theory out of another from the fevered swamps of One American News. And you're sitting here, I sit there listening to him talk about all of these things, like, you know, oh, they're intentionally throwing ballots in a creek and stuff like that. And I sit there and go, you're the fucking president of the United States. If somebody's doing this, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop. You know, send somebody should be arrested.
Mm-hmm. I don't want that to happen. I don't give a shit where it is. Yeah. I don't want it to happen. So either if it's real, then arrest some people. Mm-hmm. If not, then you're just making shit up.
Oh, that's something and, that he's been doing that for years now, where he levies some accusation just randomly on Twitter, but then does nothing about it, even though he is the chief executive of the United States.
Or that anybody who could possibly do something about it from a law enforcement perspective says, no, there's nothing there, like the FBI director, like Ray said, or how other, you know, officials have said that there is no widespread voter fraud, that there are, yes, there are small isolated cases. But I mean, the madness of the idea that there somehow there's some giant mail-in fraud conspiracy going on, and it's like Democrats are in charge of, and it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Prove it. Mm-hmm. Just prove one fucking thing. And that's what I, you know, if Chris Wallace had had anything of a spine last night, it, and you know, all Trump would have said, oh, you'll see, like he said when he, about that he paid millions of dollars in federal taxes.
Yeah.
And like, no, we'll never see. We'll never see.
People are recognizing that, right, Rude? I mean, people are seeing that he is merely just setting up some scam with the election, and the vote by mail system is pretty robust. I mean, people are recognizing this, aren't they? Or is he winning over some people with this?
I mean, again, I think that, that we're at the point where it's time that you can't. I don't think you can talk about people anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, just in general. I think that You've got your diehard Trumpers who all they really give a shit is about giving it to the libs and you know, massaging that racism prostate until they, you know, jizz hate all over the country. And you know, that's what they care about.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. They don't give a they get so much pleasure out of watching, you know, the liberals who are the people that told them that, you know, that, yeah, maybe you do have to let some black people and Hispanic people work with you. Yeah, maybe you do need, maybe that job that your family worked in the coal mine is fucking going the way of you know, Morse code operators and telegraph operators.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't like hearing that. And he tells them that they're going to be okay. And Trump tells them that their racism is fine, and that's all they give a shit about.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no more what are people getting from it.
Yeah.
It is, and that's why, to an extent, I think having more debates is fucking useless.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There's nothing that we don't know.
In fact, the next debate is a town hall. I mean, do you think Trump's going to go full shrieking eel on an audience member next time? I mean, it seems
he did on that ABC thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, that's the thing, is the sociopath in him comes out so readily. You know, every time he's accused of, every time he was accused of something last night, he turned it around and said, oh yeah, what about Hunter Biden getting money from China? It's like, who the fuck cares? Why do you care more about Hunter Biden's income than you do about people dying of COVID?
Just as you said earlier, Rude, he was trying to treat Joe Biden like he would treat Hillary Clinton, but it's not sticking to Joe because he doesn't necessarily have the 40 years, 50 years of constant demonization coming from the Republican Party working against him as a platform to springboard all of these whatever non-scandal scandals onto. And so
absolutely. You know how much it's Hillary part two? He started saying Joe Biden, Biden won't even say law and order. And, you know, first of all, yeah, Biden actually said law and order.
Yes.
But this is what, remember when it was constantly, oh, Hillary Clinton won't even say radical Islamic terrorism. You know, you remember that?
Oh, yes.
It was the same thing. It was like he's there screaming, say it, as if that proves something other than, you know, you're letting, you know, this fucking, you know, raging potato try to control the terms of the debate.
By the way, you called Donald Trump the other day on Twitter. You called him a hyperactive pig man. And I thought that was maybe the most appropriate metaphor, the best way to describe Donald Trump that I have seen possibly ever on Twitter. That was a home run. for sure.
Thanks.
But along those lines, your blog post about the debate was also fucking genius, especially this part. This is the thing that just jumped off the screen for me. Trump was a fucking tsunami of lies and accusations and conspiracy theories, and he just wouldn't stop. It was like going to an orgy where there's one guy who's done too much cocaine after downing Viagra, and he just runs around with his half-hard micro dick, frantically fucking any available hole, but never able to come because even the dog is rejecting his desperate humping. Christ, will someone throw this asshole out so the rest of us can enjoy the evening? That was absolutely golden, especially for what I presume was late last night, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you were watching madness, mm-hmm. and it was unchecked madness.
Yeah.
And that was the thing, and that was the thing you watched in him, is he was trying so hard to rattle Joe Biden, and that he you know, at some point his energy flagged, and then he tried to sort of re-up his energy to attack, until by the end he really was just a blabbering, just blabbering all of these things about voting that have no connection to reality at all.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I know that the debate commission is talking about, we're going to have more rules. And I'm like, what the fuck? He doesn't care.
No.
When has he ever fucking cared about a rule in his life?
No. And in fact, the commission should cancel the next two presidential debates. But it sounds like they're working on a way, as you said, to add more control. But I mean, other than installing a trap door under Donald Trump or putting one of those electric shock collars on him, I don't know how you possibly do that. I mean, in the town hall, he's going to be wandering around freely with a handheld microphone. How do you stop Donald Trump from continuing to be Donald Trump?
This is the one upside of COVID. is that they won't let him wander around.
Oh, that's true.
To get close to people.
Yeah.
But
maybe they should have those booths like the old 21 game show. Like they should just stick everyone in a completely sealed booth.
They should, and then shut off the oxygen if he starts just going off.
Yeah. Oh, man,
so
that'd be great.
Law and order.
And, I said on Stephanie Miller's show this morning, it's nearly impossible to speak coherently when there's a goblin screaming in your ear. I mean, knowing this, I thought Biden did pretty well. I thought he was pretty solid, all things considered. I mean, there were a few points in which I thought he could have said something differently. But for the most part, it's like trying to spin plates while that giant demon head from Poltergeist is trying to eat you. I mean, that was kind of the atmosphere last night. And knowing that, I don't think anyone could have done better than Joe Biden did, given that friction, whatever the fuck that was yesterday.
Well, and that's the thing. And I think you and I have both said that you sat there and you thought, you know what? Biden can deal with this. He can kind of deal with just about anything.
Yeah, really.
You know, he can go toe to toe with Putin and Erdogan and Xi and, all of these, dictators and wannabe dictators around the world.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially, I said he was dealing with a flaming, charging rhino that just wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
And he just sort of sidestepped him and let him pass by. And every time he came at him, he just sort of calmly backed away.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, if Trump had given a semi-normal performance, I mean, Trump's got energy. That's the thing about his incoherence versus the time that Biden gets tongue-tied because he's a stutterer.
Yeah.
But Trump just barrels through and gets louder and more energetic if he fucks up what he's saying. And so people take that as if he thinks – as if what he's saying makes sense. But if he'd have been semi-normal, he'd have come off as energetic, if belligerent, because he can't help it.
Right.
And he would have actually probably seemed, there are people that would have given him more credit for this than they could possibly now.
I honestly think that what Trump was trying to do is trigger Joe Biden's stuttering. I think that was part of the written down plan. I mean, I don't know if it's on paper or what, but I mean, in terms of the debate prep, Donald Trump's thinking to himself, okay, I've been using the Sleepy Joe thing for a while. I've been setting up Joe Biden as being this stumbling moron. So why don't I try to trigger the stumbling moron? I mean, this is Donald Trump thinking. So of course, this is, I'm not saying that myself, but Donald Trump's perspective is, if I can throw Joe Biden into some sort of loop of stammering or whatever, that's going to make me look great. I mean, that alone, if that's the case, that alone is just inhuman. It is beyond being obnoxious. It is beyond being unpresidential. It is monstrous for someone to do that, to take advantage of someone's disability, for God's sake.
And there were the stupid, childish mind games they were trying to play on Biden before this, where they were talking about the earpiece or the performance enhancing drugs, for fuck's sake.
As if
there's some shot you can get that's going to make you speak better at a debate.
Right.
Or the whole thing where they started to put out, oh, Biden has requested a break every 30 minutes. And where the debate commission had to come in and say, no, none of that is true.
Yeah.
But that was just idiot mind games. I mean, this is the thing, is like Trump has nobody competent around him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who actually had any decent political sense is gone.
Yeah.
And all he has are these sycophants and these bullshit artists and these people who are just coming out of the woodwork to take advantage of him. And have no sense at all of how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they just hope that they can ride his tail, ride on his tailwind long enough that they can get some money out of it. Like we saw with, what's his name? Pascal.
Right, right. And what do we know about Donald Trump? He loves hearing praise. And if you do not praise Donald Trump, you're pretty much fucked. I mean, you're either fired or you're out of the loop at the very least. So it seems like for the last 12 hours, at least, people have, all of those sycophants that you're talking about, are probably going up to the president going, oh, wonderful. Wonderful performance last night, Mr. Trump. Just outstanding. The way you handled that old man, just incredible. And so, to me, it's going to lead him to want to double down, to do the exact same thing, but maybe even amplify it. I mean, this is what we've been led to believe by this guy's decision-making process, his lack of personal restraint for all this time. I don't see why this would be any different. When he is encouraged, he absolutely turns up the volume rather than turning down the volume. And I think we're going to see that next time around, huh?
Oh, totally. I mean, because that's what he does. But he'll do the thing where he tries to. The funny part is going to see is if he's going to try to show compassion to people in the town hall. If he's going to if we get the same kind of thing we got in the ABC town hall where people had to tell him essentially shut up. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing is if he starts running over the average people that are going to be asking him questions. That's gonna look shitty too. But he can't help it. That's who he is. It's who he's always been.
Okay, we'll get back to our conversation with Rude here in just a second, but there's never been a more important time to have a supply of reliable respirator face masks on hand. From group events to school reopenings to the approaching fall flu season, wearing a face mask is the first line of defense against getting sick. And with continued wildfires in the West, which negatively impacts our air quality across the entire nation, there's even more need for protection when you go outside. The director of the CDC testified under oath before Congress that wearing a face mask was more important than getting a vaccine when it comes to reducing the spread of COVID in our country. Only respirator face masks provide medical grade protection, and only FDA authorized respirator face masks provide the quality required. You will know that they work. TheNewDealShop.com has FDA authorized respirator face masks ready to ship right now. TheNewDealShop.com has these medical quality FDA authorized masks, and every pouch comes with verified anti-fraud labeling. Trust the masks medical professionals are using. Go to thenewdealshop.com and get FDA-authorized, U.S.-tested respirator face masks now with free immediate shipping for my listeners. Bulk pricing is also available, so you can get the masks you need affordably and quickly. Go to thenewdealshop.com now and get FDA-authorized respirator face masks. Keep yourself and keep your family safer and healthier this fall. That's thenewdealshop.com. now that you've said goodbye to summer, it's time for things to get back to our everyday autumn groove. Everything is flavored with pumpkin spice, of course, and before you know it, the leaves will start changing color. With so much changing around us, it's increasingly difficult to find that extra time just for you. The time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduces wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines too. Number 11s, whatever that is, and crow's feet. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. And by the way, the results are going to last for hours, so you can take the family apple picking and look your best the whole damn time. Even better, Plexiderm doesn't involve any visits to a surgeon and costs less than a round of pumpkin spice lattes for you and your friends. You can try a 6-application trial for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and use the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
I remember in 2004 during the town hall debate with Bush and John Kerry, where I think one of the first questions was about the coalition of the willing or whatever it was. And George W. Bush got really pissed because he was the incumbent. And I think you see this a lot with incumbents where they feel entitled to a certain extent. And so they act out. George W. Bush, of course, did that. And so when he was asked about the smaller nations that compose the coalition of the willing in Iraq, he walked right up to Brit Hume and he was like, "What about Alexander Kwasniewski? What about him? What about Poland?" And I thought, oh, my God, how obnoxious was that?
Yeah.
And it didn't do anything. No one cared. And so now, again, the volume of that, even from an historical perspective, has been turned up to beyond 11 now. So it seems like we're on that kind of trajectory into the future, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. No. There's a great book that I suggest to people all the time. This is a book that's from, I think it's from 2001, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
It's by the great writer, mystery satire writer, Tim Dorsey.
Yeah.
And it's a book called Orange Crush that is about a governor's race in Florida that goes completely batshit when one of the candidates is just this terrible, horrible, politician, and the other one is the son of a great politician who is a feckless, idiot until he has to go to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And not Afghanistan. He has to go overseas and fight, and it changes his politics completely. And everything becomes a shit show to the point where the crazy guy challenges the more progressive candidate to a wrestling match, a professional wrestling match.
Jesus.
And by the end, all of Florida is essentially in flames as people are, and one of my favorite lines, are hanging chads in effigy. and so we are, I keep watching this and I keep seeing it getting worse and worse and worse and thinking, we're not that far.
Yeah.
From Trump just saying, all right, let's do it. Let's go into the ring. Let's get, what's his name from the WWE to the fucking referee it.
That leads me to two adjoining questions that I've been thinking about for the last 12 hours or so, Rude. And that is, one, does this help Biden's numbers? And I think it does. But does this hurt America in the long run? And of course it does, because my concern is that 4 years from now, we could have a presidential candidate, or 16 years from now, it doesn't matter. At some point in the not too distant future, we're going to have presidential candidates who say horrendous things on the stage during a debate. And it doesn't matter how extreme it is, because what's going to happen is everyone's just going to go, well, whatever Trump did in 2020 was far worse. So whatever this guy's doing today in 2024, 2028, or whatever it is, it's not so bad. I mean, that's my concern, is that it is now normalized, this, whether we like it or not, this kind of behavior. And so that anything lesser than what Trump has done during a debate is just going to be blown off as nothing. I mean, that's my biggest concern for the long run in all of this. What do you think?
I think that
the second a Democrat tries to do anything at all that Trump has done in his entire presidency, that Republicans will burn down D.C. to try to get them thrown out of office or in some way harmed because of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I see what you're saying, but I think only a Republican can get away with it.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that is because Democrats really stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put up with a lot of shit. Everybody, you got to put up with a lot of shit if you just want to be involved in the political system.
Yeah.
But Democrats would never put up with this. Never put up with that much lying. I mean, I for years have been saying that Democrats need to become better liars, and we just don't do it. It's just not in our DNA.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that you're right, but that it's going to be a Republican that does it.
Yeah. Well, to a certain extent, I'm relieved that the Democrats still have this drive to, at least to a certain extent, be the adults in the room. But by being the adults in the room, they kind of get pantsed in the process. And that's...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, did you see this thing about Chuck Schumer filing a motion for cloture on a measure to guarantee that pre-existing conditions will be covered in any health care bills?
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. So he did that. And what was revealed is that anybody can, Schumer could have been filing cloture motions all along.
Mm-hmm.
He could have constantly been filing cloture motions and slowing down the business of the Senate.
Yeah.
And people are looking at it going, wait, why the fuck haven't you been doing this for, the last 4 years?
Yeah.
Why haven't you been slowing down the appointment of judges? Why haven't you been throwing every possible roadblock in the way? People are saying, oh, well, then the Senate wouldn't function at all. And it's like, the Senate's not functioning at all.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we pretending otherwise?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're right. Yeah. Democrats, hopefully with Biden elected and a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House, that we will finally say, you know what? Fuck it. We have to really get in there and dig this cancer out of our American system.
Yeah, and I used to be one of these guys who kind of had some sort of respect for the idea of having a strong executive. I wasn't opposed to the concept. I certainly wasn't a unitary executive guy. That's insanity. But I actually kind of like the idea of a benevolent leader at the top of the stack who was kind of leading the tone for the United States. I feel like that's got to go away now. I feel like we need to seriously downplay the role of the president because we're kind of skewing off into this weird, obnoxious, horrible nightmare scenario, this weird tangent where the president is going to become nothing more than the central character in cable news dramatic narratives. And when that really happens, and we're kind of already there, but it hasn't really metastasized yet. And I'm afraid that when it does, the presidency is just going to be this ongoing joke, irrespective of who occupies the office.
I mean, I thought that we need to get back to Congress having the kind of strength that it used to have.
Yeah.
Going back to the Clinton years, because we know that unitary executive thing was a theory of Dick Cheney's.
Right.
That they really pushed George W. Bush towards.
And now Bill Barr now. Yeah.
Yeah, and Bill Barr and Obama picked up on it. And yeah, when it was on our side, it was like, oh, cool, he's doing things like DACA that are actually humane. But, one of the warnings people gave all along was, well, all we need is one crazy motherfucker to come along and, do even worse than George W. Bush did.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. So, yes, I would love to see the kind of control that Congress had come back in. I don't see, I would even go back to saying we need to have a special counsel law again or whatever they used, the independent counsel law under that they had during Clinton. Imagine if we'd had that for Trump, somebody that could not have been fired by Trump. We know that Bob Mueller, that he held back on things because they were afraid that Trump was going to fire him and shut the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if that wasn't a factor? Because only Congress controlled it.
Yeah. And, we seem to be jumping from one major catastrophe to the next, or for lack of a better term, one scandal to the next. And my concern is that we can't seem to keep track of that as it goes by. It's the Steve Bannon thing with the noise and the signal and all of that crap. I mean, they're bombarding us, the fire hose of news, for lack of a better term. Can you recall, this is a bit of a quiz slash trivia question, Rude. Can you recall the Trump scandal, the Trump catastrophe from two scandals ago? I'll give you a hint here. There was the debate last night. There was the tax returns before that. But can you remember what came before that, like the major scandal before the tax returns?
Oh, crap. I do know.
Oh, really?
I mean, I can go back to, you know, bounties on the heads of American soldiers. But it was after that. Yeah, there was something. Oh, fuck. What was it?
See, this is my point. I had to look it up. I couldn't recall what it was. So when I wrote this question down, I went and I had to look it up, because it was Trump refusing to accept a peaceful transfer of power, and that Barton Gellman piece about Trump rigging the Electoral College. The one before that was Trump and the GOP moving forward with a Supreme Court nominee despite the McConnell rule. Before that was Trump saying the pandemic isn't so bad if you take out the blue states. And then before that was the Bob Woodward book. I mean, all of that has occurred, and those are just the major banner headlines. All of that has occurred in the last 13 days. I mean, that is so colossally unhealthy for a republic to be going
you think?
Yeah, am I understating things again, Rude? I think I am.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we are into some kind of realm. This is one of the things, though, he does so well.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the excess that under which he does everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, look at his terrible apartment, or, you know, where he lives in Trump Tower.
Yeah.
And, you know, how just gaudy and over the top it is. Look at how his finances are arranged, that there are something like 500 companies associated with the Trump Organization,
mm-hmm,
as a way of sort of, you know, this Byzantine system of finance where everybody's sort of, you know, taking money from others and then using that for tax breaks that are, I don't know, some kind of tax break circle jerk that's going on between his companies. Look at the flood of lawsuits that he files all the time.
Yeah.
This is his method.
Mm-hmm.
His method is to just simply flood the zone, and you know, and that's the way to score at this point.
Yeah.
If something gets through.
Right. I think he's kind of going with like the tobacco lobby's business model, is to just overwhelm government regulators. That's what he's trying to do. He's just overwhelming the Internal Revenue Service right now with this ongoing audit and so on, based on that big tax refund. I can't even imagine them trying to make heads or tails of, as you said, like 500 different little teeny tiny companies all controlled by Trump, and they do different things and money is flying back and forth between them. I mean, how do you even begin to unravel that crap?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Although I will say, the one little surprise was, he really is under audit.
Yeah, I know.
Because I thought that was total bullshit. But then, you know, I mean, again, that's not any reason. And even last, he said, I'll show it to you. You'll see it when it came to his paying millions of dollars in taxes.
Right, right. It's one of those things where he can get away with a lot when it comes to taxes, because, I mean, most people just really don't know the complexities of the tax code or what gets paid out by a business and so on. So he can kind of wiggle through that, kind of the way he's wiggling through healthcare, because not a lot of people are familiar with how healthcare works, or health insurance specifically. So he's able to get away with quite a bit, seizing upon just the general ignorance and apathy of the people who support him. So that's definitely the case with his taxes, because right now, last night he said, I've paid millions in income taxes. I mean, what he's paid are payroll taxes for his employees and so on. But the income tax, I mean, it's very well defined as a term.
There is a line that tells you how much your personal income tax payment, how much you owe or how much you're getting back.
Yeah.
And I do love that he paid, you know, all this money and then demanded it all be refunded you know, later on.
Mm-hmm.
And that of course is what the audit is about, is that $72 million that he got back.
Jesus God. Can you imagine getting that check? Oh, here we're giving Donald Trump $72 million from the government treasury today. It's an amazing thing that was even paid out in the first place, much less, managed to work its way under the radar for at least a little while.
I really wish Biden, if we all have our wish list of shit we wish Biden had said.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think near the top is for him not to have gone at Trump as, you know, a shitty business person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all you got to say is, why the fuck are we taking economic advice from somebody who lost $400 million
yes.
twice
mm-hmm.
and is still $400 million in debt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I mean, we knew how he was going to react to the paying zero taxes or paying 750, whatever number they ended up quoting, because he would just say, well, you let me do it. It was the same thing he did in the the first or second Hillary debate from last time. He said,
smart.
Yeah, I call that smart. Exactly. And so that was his, you know, more or less his response last night, too, which is why you're exactly fucking right that it should have been. Oh, you're really a fraud. You're not a great businessman. In fact, you know, anyone who's willing to absorb that much debt, I mean, up to $1 billion in debt. Well, yeah, you can have a gold plated penthouse in New York City if you're willing to take on that much debt. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. And that's exactly what Donald Trump's done. I mean, he's not a wizard. He's not the wizard he makes himself out to be. He's not even close, is he?
No. I mean, he's got $100 billion payment on Trump Tower that's due next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got all these other debts that are due in the next few years while he's in office. And it's like, that seems like a big fucking subject. Like, how do we know you're not doing all of this to pay off your debts?
Yeah.
You know, there was somebody I read, I think it was Juan Cole, who said, did he give up on the Kurds in Syria because as a favor to Erdogan?
Yeah.
Because he owes money to for something in Turkey.
Yep.
And and you can't separate it. And how horrific is that to think that our foreign policy is being based on his debt?
And we should assume that right away. We should never give him the benefit of the doubt on any of this shit. So if we presume it, it's probably the case. And in fact, if the nightmare scenario occurs and he gets a second term, the big second term scandal, I mean, other than the disintegration of the republic and the, you know, the metastasizing of fascism here,
you're in California. You guys are just going to separate off and be like, yeah, fuck it, we're done.
Actually, no, I'm in Maryland now. I'm in the D.C. suburbs now. So okay. I'm right
Why
at the,
like-
I'm in the front row to watch the cataclysm now.
I didn't realize that. Oh, man.
Yeah, I've got front row tickets to the catastrophe if it actually goes down. But I think the big scandal, other than those large systemic things, are going to be the fact that all of those loans are coming due in the next 4 years. And what is he going to sell out to get that debt erased, to get it expunged? What kind of national security secrets is he going to sell in order to wiggle out of all that debt? I mean, it is going to be a gigantic garage sale of everything that we cherish in this country. And people don't even recognize that who are watching Fox News Channel. They just don't know. They don't know how badly they've been scammed. And that's that's one of the major tragedies of all of this, that 62 million people, maybe a few less now, but 62 million people were entirely scammed by what I would consider to be a mediocre con man. I mean, he's not even a great con man. He's kind of I guess if he scams 62 million people, that would make him a great con man. Yeah, I take that back.
I mean, considering the large scale cons he's gotten away with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the thing that gets me about his cons is just how fucking sleazy they are.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If nothing else, at least Bernie Madoff had some class. He kept it all just, you know, in to himself, and you know, and just kept the finance, kept on fucking with the finances,
yeah.
the pyramid schemes and the Ponzi scheme that he ran. But Trump is like out there giving speeches about that purportedly are training people to become the next millionaires. He's having them, selling them, you know, these little kits that are going to help them with their own kind of pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
He's running his stupid Trump University or some other scam. And it's like, God, it's just so low and sleazy and like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. He's really a pathetic character. He's a sad, pathetic, brittle little man. And I really believe that history is going to remember him that way. I believe history is going to remember him as an utter failure, as a glitch. I really believe that there will be a movement to add an asterisk next to his name on the list of presidents that we see in history books. I mean, I hope. That is my firm desire, that the awfulness of this hopefully 4-year span is not going to be forgotten, because as soon as we forget what happened here, I think that's when it starts all over again. And, that's the long-term nightmare.
And let's hope that demographic shifts and just people aging out of just aging into dying will finally help get rid of the Republican Party.
That's right.
And because at this point, the Republican Party is so deeply, deeply corrupt and tied to Trumpism that it really just needs to go the way of the Whigs.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, the must-read website is rudepundit.blogspot.com. The Twitter handle is @rudepundit. I'm sorry it's taking me this long to have you on, Rude, but I promise not to let it ever happen again. But thank you so much for today.
I'm glad to finally get to talk to you.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I swear to God, I'm having you on again real damn soon. I promise that.
Anytime.
Take care, my friend. Appreciate it. See ya.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now that you've said goodbye to summer, it's time for things to get back to our everyday autumn groove. Everything is flavored with pumpkin spice, of course, and before you know it, the leaves will start changing color. With so much changing around us, it's increasingly difficult to find that extra time just for you. The time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduces wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines too. Number 11s, whatever that is, and crow's feet. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. And by the way, the results are going to last for hours, so you can take the family apple picking and look your best the whole damn time. Even better, Plexiderm doesn't involve any visits to a surgeon and costs less than a round of pumpkin spice lattes for you and your friends. You can try a 6-application trial for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and use the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.